Welcome to this H2O Innovation Special Announcement conference call. I'll let the management explain further.
Yeah, thank you. Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I'm very happy to be here today. My name is Marc Blanchet, CFO of H2O Innovation. This call will be held in English, but I'll just say a few words in French for our French audience. Merci, bon après-midi à tous. Dans un premier temps, j'aimerais vous remercier d'assister à cet appel. Et vous avisez que même si l'appel se tient en anglais, nous répondrons aux questions qui seront posées en français dans la seconde partie de l'appel. Pour faciliter le suivi de l'appel, je vous invite à télécharger la présentation sur notre site internet h2oinnovation.com dans la section investisseurs. Before we begin the call, I invite you to download a copy of today's presentation, which can be found in the investor section of our website at h2oinnovation.com in the section investors. Now, in today's call, we'll be discussing the announcement we made earlier, just a few minutes ago, regarding the execution of a binding agreement pursuant to which H2 Innovation will acquire a company that we call The Target. We will also discuss the equity offering to finance the acquisition, which was just announced. Well, Frédéric Dugré, President and CEO, is joining me today for a call, which duration will be about 20 to 30 minutes. Before I hand over the call to Frédéric to discuss the announcement, please take a moment to read the forward-looking statement on page 2 of the presentation. I would now like to hand over the call to Frédéric, President and CEO of H2 Innovation.
Thank you, Mark. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining the call today, even though it was a short notice, so sorry about that. As you know, and you can see on page number 3 of the presentation, our growth in the last couple of years was punctuated by multiple strategic and complementary acquisitions. If you look at the chart, you will clearly see that we started to build our third business pillar, relying on operation and maintenance, through the acquisition of Utility Partner back in July 2016. Well, today, we're extremely pleased to announce our intention now to further grow our O&M business pillar through the acquisition of a new company, as Mark explained, named The Target. Moving to page number 4, let's look at a little bit more about this detail related to this acquisition. Well, we're going to name it for the purpose of the transaction until we close the transaction at the end of the month, at the end of November, so we're going to keep the name private to preserve the relationship that the Target has with its current customer, and the name will be further disclosed at the end of the month, early December. But for now, The Target currently contemplating for this acquisition is a leader in providing into full water service and wastewater service for municipal utilities in Texas. For us, it really represents a strategic platform upon which we're expecting to grow further our presence in Texas and then be able to realize significant cross-selling opportunities between our different business pillars. The current target for the acquisition, we're going to pay $6.7 million, representing 5.6 times the EBITDA and the synergies realized in the fiscal year 2017. So the EBITDA was $1,007,000 and an additional synergies identified of $129 million, bringing it together to $1.2 million. If you look now based on the current fiscal year that is about to end, that ended in September 30th, the estimated EBITDA combined to the same kind of synergies is getting now at $1.5 million. If you apply the same purchase price, it represents a multiple of 4.3 times the EBITDA in synergies. Again, the total purchase price is $6.7 million in U.S. dollars and will be allocated in the following way. So at closing, we're going to pay $4.47 million cash at closing, and it will be followed by two installment or two contingent consideration or earnout related to maintaining a minimal revenue level for the next 2 years of $13.2 million per year. As you can see on page number 5, our combined footprint in North America gives us an excellent coverage into strategic location, including notably in Texas. So since January 2018, UP secured already a new project, a new O&M project in Texas, and now with this acquisition, we'll be adding another 41 service opportunities. So in total, our O&M business will grow to 42 different customers served in Texas, mostly around Houston, where the population is the most populated city in Texas. Let's look now at the different drivers at page number six behind the water infrastructure market. So in total, the U.S. market is divided in two different categories. First, the CapEx related to capital expenditure that represent about $40.5 billion in 2016. On the other hand, if you look at the operational expenses, it represented $116 million in 2016. So this represent by far the largest portion of the investment done by the cities and different infrastructure markets. If you look now only in Texas, well, Texas is estimating currently at $62.5 billion the investment required in the next 50 years for both the CapEx and the OPEX. So extremely attractive market for a company like H2O. On top of that, the other important driver is the population growth, obviously, adding more pressure on the infrastructure. So currently, I mean, we're expecting the population to grow by 40% till 2040 in the next couple of years. So important driver for the coming years. If you look now at the average O&M growth opportunities, if you compare the growth in the last couple of years between 2012 and 2016, the average growth in Texas reached 17% compared to the other national growth of 3.9% of the overall American growth in the O&M world. So Texas is definitely a market where they're very in favor of the O&M opportunities. Now let's look a little bit more into the detailed number of the targeted opportunities. So at page number eight, as I mentioned earlier, the target is currently active in providing services in the water and wastewater operation. They're also doing billing and collection services, repair, maintenance, and construction services. In total, they have 41 different customers, including MUD, Municipal Utility Districts, which I will define a little bit further after, and private utilities. They have been serving their customers with a number of them over more than 20 years, and they have pretty excellent retention of their existing customers by slightly more than 90% retention on these customers. The business model is pretty much the same as H2O and its third business pillar, so they have O&M contracts with customers. Except that in this case, the contracts are evergreen contracts, so they don't necessarily expire. However, they do have highly recurrency of these customers and the repeat business they have with them, as it represents a 95% rate of repeat business. So extremely sticky in terms of business model and adding recurrent sales to our business model as well. In total, they have about 70 employees, again, providing us an excellent platform to further grow the business moving forward from Texas. Proven track record of 40 years plus, both on profitability and revenues, and they are located around Houston. Now, as you can see on the EBITDA chart with the synergies, the EBITDA with synergies have evolved from $886,000 in 2016 to $1.2 million in 2017. This represents about 35% growth. On a similar manner, the target continued its growth, its positive trend, and could even exceed $1.5 million U.S. according to our estimate, representing another 31% growth at the end of 2018. On the revenue line, as you can see, well, over the last two fiscal years, the revenue has been growing from $10.9 million to $14 million, representing a 28% organic growth over 2 years. Now, before we dive into further into the numbers, let's understand what a MUD is. So at page number nine, let's see what a MUD is all about. So a MUD is a municipal utility district. It is essentially a political subdivision in the state of Texas. It is a vehicle that allows actually the private developers doing residential development to accelerate their development. So a MUD is an utility-related services that provides water, sewage, and drainage to the resident, as part of the MUD. It is funded by a special bond, and the individual living into the MUD or being taxed according to the value of their different properties. So now looking at page number 10, let's analyze further the MUD market in Texas, because it's truly something very particular to the Texas market. So in total, there is slightly more and close to 1,000 active MUDs operated by 20 different companies in Texas. On a yearly basis, it represents an addressable market of $350 million U.S., so quite attractive for a company like us that plans to further grow. On a yearly basis now, we are seeing additional growth being created and constructed every year. We're seeing 50 to 60 new MUDs every year added to the total. And the vast majority of these MUDs are concentrated around Houston and around Austin cities. I will now pass it on to Mark, who will review with you the numbers related to the proposed acquisition.
Thank you, Frederic. So I invite you to go over slide 11. So before we open the line on the questions, we'll go over the financial part of the transaction and explain the financing. So revenue of the targets stood at just below $17 million in Canadian dollar as of September 30, 2017, and with an adjusted EBITDA from expected synergies at $1.5 million, or 9.1% over revenue. We use these numbers because those are the one on which we based the acquisition purchase price. And considering if the acquisition would have been considered on June 30, the revenues of H2 Innovation would have been at $116 million, and the EBITDA at 5.6, so 4.9% over revenue, so immediately accretive. So, So this shows an immediate accretion of 37%. Following the acquisition and the financing, the net debt will be reduced by $4 million to 13.6 from 17.5 as of June 30, mostly due to excess of cash from the equity financing. So with such an improved balance sheet, the corporation will be in a better financial position to pursue its growth. The acquisition is expected to generate earnings and cash accretion from day one. If we move to slide 12, so concurrently with the acquisition, we announced today an equity financing of $13 million to issue a total of $15.7 million subscription receipt of the corporation at a purchase price of 83 cents, which is the weighted average price of the last 20 days minus 10%. With a syndicate of underwriting led by Haywood Securities, including also Beacon Securities and Canaccord Group. The corporation has granted the underwriters an option to purchase up to an additional 2.3 million sub-receipt at the same price, exercisable at any time prior 48 hours before the closing of the offering, for an additional gross proceed of approximately $2 million. So if this option is exercised in full, The total gross proceed of H2 Innovation from the sale of the sub-receipt will be approximately $15 million. The purchase price will be paid in multiple installments. So the purchase price for the acquisition will be paid in multiple installments, being 67% in cash at closing, and the balance will be paid over 2 years earn-out period. With an equity financing of $13 million, $3.7 million of cash will be left for working capital and long-term debt reimbursement, as I said earlier. The transaction is expected to close on November 30. This concludes my remarks on the financial section. On behalf of H2O and the executive team, I thank the investor and continue to support the execution of the strategy. Sorry, I pass it along to Frederic before we end this call.
Good, thank you, Mark. Indeed, we are extremely, extremely happy and excited about this acquisition. As you can see on page number 13, we have multiple strong fundamentals supporting this acquisition. Well, first, as I said, it enhances our presence in the Texas market, which is very important, and we start to strive on this a couple of years ago, so it's an acceleration for us. This platform, the target actually, will provide us a great platform to grow upon and be able to further enhance our presence and combine it to the existing O&M contracts that now we have in Texas. In total, adding the target revenues and combining the existing revenues we have also from the O&M, it is a total of $50 million and plus that we will have related to the specific business activity of O&M. So we're starting to build quite strong momentum and becoming a strong player, well established in North America doing O&M. As Mark explained also, it adds a 37% accretion to our EBITDA with the synergies that we have identified. So it's quite significant as we speak. Also, because of the nature of the revenues, and we're also adding a significant portion of revenue of these types, so combining the O&M revenues, the specialty products in H2O, the aftermarket and services, this will represent close to 70% of our existing revenues as we speak. So very strong fundamentals related to recurring sales. It will also provide multiple cross-selling opportunities. So it will be a vehicle for us to further increase our capital expenditure projects, then be able to add and propose chemicals, expand the scope of work of utility partner now. And finally, the team in place is expected to stay, and we're going to cope with the existing team and make sure that we provide them all the support they need to further grow the company. As we have proved in the past, we can integrate this company. We feel confident about that, and we look forward to get ourselves well established in Texas. So this completes the call. I will now pass it on to the operator for the Q&A session. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press the pound key. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Jerry Sweeney with Roth Capital. Your line is open.
Good afternoon, Fred and Mark. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, good afternoon, Jerry.
Could you give a little bit more detail on what the synergies are? I know there's a little bit there, but maybe exactly where they're coming from. And then I'm assuming synergies do not include cross-selling opportunities. And if that is true, you know, at what point can cross-selling start? Generally, I mean, is it 6 months, a year, you sort of ease your way into that process as well? Maybe a little bit more clarity or vision as to how you see that developing.
Yeah. So they are clearly cost synergy, not selling synergies, as you mentioned. So this was too early to identify it yet. The cost synergies and the one we have identified are mostly related to expenses related to the owner of the business currently that, you know, is going to move out as it is planned, is going to retire in the next couple of months. So these expenses obviously are going to be removed of the existing P&L. So this is what we're referring to. And now with the new IFRS standards and the definition of the EBITDA versus adjusted EBITDA, we needed to come up with this differentiation and the definition of the EBITDA plus synergy. So this is essentially where we are referring to at this point.
Got it. And then on cross-selling, at what point, how quickly could you start the cross-selling opportunities? Obviously, with utility partners, you took your time a little bit and wanted to get settled, et cetera.
Exactly. So it takes more or less, you know, a year to get things going. And the first thing that we want to do is retain our people as part of the integration plan, retain our people, retain our customers, most importantly, and we did the same with utility partner in the past, and yes, start to show these existing customers how we can create value to them and the kind of offering we can add. Now, utility partner is extremely strong when it comes to compliance, when it comes to regulation, strong very much into the operation itself of the different water utilities. However, in complement, I would say instead of however, this target has tremendous, tremendous experience related to billing, for example, and services and construction type of work, which is also very complementary to utility partners. So the way we see things is that we're expecting to take the benefit and the experience coming from this target, combine it with utility partner experience, and create literally a powerhouse in Texas to be able to better serve these different customers out there.
Okay. And then one or two more quick questions. MUDs are a little bit of a different entity than I think some of the other O&M contracts you have. With utility partners, you're dealing with city councils or city governments or town legislatures. Are MUDs markedly different in terms of who's in charge, who you're responsible to, who you report to? Any type of nuances that we should be aware of from that perspective?
No, not really. I mean, obviously, it's a different quote-unquote animal, if I can say. Essentially, as part of a MUD, you're reporting to a small board of people, usually made of an engineer, a lawyer, an accountant. They are the one elected on behalf of the residents living in the MUD, and they are the one actually making sure that services are provided to the one living locally in the MUD. So this is why everything else is being outsourced. So all the services provided for water, wastewater, and drainage is outsourced to third-party companies like us and like the Target, for example, providing these services. So we're not expecting a different kind of relationship. There's still this monthly reporting and relationship that still need to happen through the different people that are already doing this on a monthly basis. But as any contract, as any customer, strong customer relationship is very important, and this is what we're intending to maintain moving forward.
Got it. And then I missed a little bit. I had a bad connection for a little bit, but so I'm not sure if this was covered in the call. Any details on the length of these contracts, or how does that work in terms of contract renewal and sort of or service agreement, if you would? And that's it for me, but thank you.
It's evergreen contract. So if we compare it to utility partner, for example, where they have an average of 5-year contracts, you know, signed with a municipality at specific price with specific, you know, CPI adjustment over this 5-year period. In this case, it's evergreen contract. So it also has the advantage of having this close relationship where unless you really screw up, I mean, they will maintain your services because you're doing all the billings to the different, you know, thousands and thousands of residents living in a MUD, and you have this close relationship. So it allows you to be able also to provide additional services, rapidly move with the scope extension, and adjust your price more easily usually. And some customers,
okay,
when we did the due diligence and look at the Target, they had customers for more than 20 years served by the Target. So it shows literally that even though it's not 5-year agreement, it's still a very sticky business.
Got it. Understood. I appreciate it. I'll jump back in the queue. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jared.
Again, to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Gabriel Leung with Beacon Securities. Your line is open.
excuse me. Thanks for taking my questions, and congrats on the transaction. Couple of things. So if I look at the market in Texas right now, just based on what you provided on your presentation, can you talk a little bit about the contract operators that are currently managing most of the MUDs right now? Can you talk about sort of their size relative to you guys, and whether you see them as potential acquisition targets to grow market share over time?
So actually one of the main players in Texas that actually got privatized a couple of months ago through a transaction is Inframark now. And they're the most active, large, organized, if I can say, player out there, active in the MUD business. On the other end, the competitors of our Target are also a lot of small, privately owned company out there. So it is still a very fragmented market out there. So yes, ideal for consolidation also. But also, we believe that as a player fully integrated with the capabilities to provide a lot of synergies, we can definitely differentiate ourselves in this market.
Gotcha. And I'm just curious, you know, obviously you're still very early on in this transaction, but as it relates to the integration, obviously you guys had good experience with UP. I'm just curious, as you think about the integration for this new target, what are some of the lessons you might have learned from the initial transaction that you're going to carry on to this transaction?
Well, really, I mean, we want to apply the exact same recipe to some extent. So we have already identified key business leaders, if I can say, key business managers that will be growing with us and managing the company with us. So they are already identified as part of the transaction. We have already discussed with the seller a transition plan. So this is already in place, so that there won't be any ambiguity related to leadership, related to transition. And our internal team, led by Bill Douglas, who's our vice president for the operation and maintenance, is excited and thrilled and ready to jump on this task, and obviously supported by the rest of the team. So we're going to apply the exact same recipe and methodology that we have done with Utility Partner.
Gotcha. And I just have two things maybe for Mark. One, can you confirm, if I look at the revenue base, that you know the vast majority is recurring, I presume about 95% of it is recurring? That's the first question. And the second question is around the targets, sort of EBITDA, the cash flow conversion. Can you talk about how that's looking right now, whether or not this is a high working capital sort of company that you're acquiring right now, or the EBITDA flows the free cash flow pretty nicely? And that's it for me. Thanks.
So it is very recurring indeed, as Frederick explained. I mean, these are our long-term relationship, and basically the target does about everything to manage the water assets of those muds. So very recurring. As for, so it's about, I would say, above 95% of their revenue are recurring, I would say. As for conversion of cash flow, EBITDA versus cash flow, it's extremely close. It's very cash flow positive business. A bit like UP, it's, you know, barely any late receivables. They invoice on the first and they are being paid before the end of the month. And it's, you know, the only CapEx there is related to some vehicles. It's a fleet of vehicle. And so they pay some, that's about it.
Not more CapEx intensive than it is with Utility Partner.
Than UP was, yeah. That's.
Gotcha. That's helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Daniel Rosenberg with Haywood Securities. Your line is open.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my question. I was just curious around the...
Daniel.
Hi, guys. Around the Texas market, obviously it looks like a very attractive market to be building up resources in, but I was wondering, given that now it seems like a lot of potential business will be coming from that market, does that change how you think about investment in terms of structure, in terms of will you need an office opening or any investment of the like in the Texas area?
So the existing target already has a strong presence, an office, and very well-established premises around Houston. This, obviously, we're intending to maintain it because it's a key asset, important for us to maintain and preserve the relationship with the existing customers they have. And obviously, we're going to see how we can use this existing platform to further grow our presence in Texas. So there's no additional necessarily short-term investment plan. And yes, we want to keep the existing premises and location that we have.
Great. And lastly, in terms of the kind of cross-sell opportunity, obviously you're focused on the Texas market, but are there opportunities in surrounding markets for the target to cross-sell perhaps into other U.S. markets or in terms of the actual product and services that you're offering?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, one of the expertise that the target developed over the last couple of years is related to the billing services. And as you know, some municipalities are not necessarily only outsourcing their water and wastewater services, but some of them are also outsourcing the billing services. So this could be one of the synergies that could go beyond the Texas market, where the current team doing this in Texas have a very strong expertise and experience in doing it, and they have been doing it for a number of years, serving more than 35,000 individuals done every month. So they're billing 35,000 people every month. And this could be a way for us to further expand outside of Texas using this expertise.
Okay, thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
And there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the call back over to our presenters.
Thank you very much, and thank you for taking the time at the end of the day today, and we look forward to catch up with you. There will be obviously a press release coming out at the closing of the transaction, as we're anticipating it at the end of November for official closing on November 30th. And again, thank you. Very excited about this transaction. I think we see a lot of synergies. We see a lot of growth opportunity for us on both the revenue and the EBITDA. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.